Home Sweet Housing Market. Home prices inch up again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Jeremy Hobson. It's the morning open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, home prices rise in May, and the debt ceiling deadline may be relaxing. But first, where's Wall Street? A mixed morning for the markets. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 0.5% to 12,529. The NASDAQ up almost 0.1% to 2845. The S&P 500 down just a hair to 1336. McDonald's Happy Meals are getting healthier, adding fruit and cutting back on fries. It'll mean a 20% drop in happiness, calories, sorry, for the meals. And now home prices. They rose 1% in May, according to the Case-Shiller Index. Julie Niemann is with Smith, Moore & Company in St. Louis. She joins us live. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Stacey.
So, Julie, home prices up for 2 months now. Are things turning around?
Well, this is in the category of not so horrible news. You know, you've got some seasonal improvement going on here. Summertime's always the prime time for moving around, and interest rates are still really low, but we're still not back to 2003 levels. That's 10% above historic trend line, so we probably still have some downside to go. So what we're looking at now is housing is not getting worse. It's just kind of bobbling around the bottom. That's good news. But we have very tight credit conditions among lenders and a lot of contract cancellations as well.
There's a new study out this morning from Pew Research Center that found the collapse in housing prices affected the net worth of minorities more severely than the general population. Could a jump in housing prices like this change that potentially?
Well, it's also tied into unemployment because unemployment is the highest among blacks and Hispanics, and a lot more of their net worth is tied up in the housing market as well. Black unemployment right now is close to 17%, Hispanics close to 13%.
Wow.
You've got a big wealth gap going on here, and you have more housing repatriations or more housing defaults going on in those cities where the housing numbers are the worst. So it's all tied together with unemployment and net worth.
Julie Niemann with Smith, Moore & Company. Thank you, Julie.
You bet.
President Obama and House Speaker John Boehner took to the airwaves last night to make their respective cases in the debt ceiling debate. Both men did agree something has to be done by August 2nd. That's when the U.S. Treasury says the debt clock runs down. But Marketplace's Heidi Moore says maybe time to reset those clocks.
The debt ceiling debate has been going on endlessly for nearly a year. And with the end in sight on August 2nd, what's one more week?
You can still go beyond August 2nd. I think that's put out there as this D-Day, this deadline day, but it's not really.
That's Jeff Cleveland, an economist with Payden & Riegel. He says we have wiggle room, and he's right. Barclays, the investment bank, said today we may have as long as August 10th to raise the debt ceiling. That's because we got more tax revenues in July than we thought. $11 billion, to be exact. So now we're practically rolling in dough, right? Well, not exactly. Everyone's worried the U.S. will default when we don't have enough money to pay the interest we owe on our debt. The Treasury still has to pay that off, and the tax revenues won't help. We owe $30 billion in interest.
It's not until you get to that August 15th point where you have to make that payment. That's a large chunk of money.
It's a doozy, but it's nothing compared to the prospect of 2 more weeks of Washington sniping and speeches. In New York, I'm Heidi Moore for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Arizona plans to save $500 million by cutting the number of people getting health care through Medicaid. Paul Atkinson has more.
Arizona sent out 250,000 notices this month explaining the change to its Medicaid program. The state is not cutting coverage, it's freezing enrollment for a population most states don't cover, childless adults. So if recipients become ineligible because their earnings exceed the income threshold, they can't renew their policy. The state's Medicaid director, Tom Betlock, says he expects 100,000 childless adults will lose coverage in the first year.
We obviously regret that we have to make these decisions as well, but they are decisions that have to be made because of the economic circumstances we're going through here in the state of Arizona.
Arizona voters approved expanding Medicaid eligibility in 2000. Money from the state's tobacco settlement initially covered the additional cost. But now, with one in five Arizonans receiving Medicaid, the state is having to chip in. This year, fully 12% of its budget. At the same time, the state is trying to recover from an historic drop in revenue triggered by the financial crisis.
So with the general fund losing about a third of its revenue stream and the fact that the program grew by 300,000 members during the first couple of years of the recession, those types of fiscal pressures really became unmanageable and unsustainable for the state.
But critics of Arizona's Medicaid cutbacks think policymakers overreacted. Because of the cuts, the state will lose $1 billion in federal matching funds. And there will be indirect costs, says Eddie Sissons of the Arizona Foundation for Behavioral Health.
So, you know, whenever I come in with my kid who's broken her arm, or I come in with, you know, a really allergic reaction for a bee sting, which I'm allergic to, I'm going to just wait longer because the emergency rooms are going to be crowded.
Sissons and others warn all Arizonans will pay higher health care costs as hospitals raise everyone else's rates to cover former Medicaid patients. In Phoenix, I'm Paul Atkinson for Marketplace.
Join us tomorrow. Paul will tell us about a couple who's just about to lose their Medicare coverage. And finally, you know all those fees on your cell phone bill? Well, here's a little schadenfreude for you this morning. Los Angeles is suing AT&T for failing to pay nearly $5 million for a communications user tax. I don't know. Maybe if AT&T has to sit on the phone for a few hours trying to find out exactly what a communications user tax is, maybe we'll call it even. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Just getting a paycheck in the land of 9.2% unemployment is a blessing, right?
The lowest number of deaths is a day before the first, and then there's a large spike in mortality on the first of the month.
Or maybe not. I'm Kai Ruzdahl, the curse of the paycheck, the numbers from Wall Street, and the day's business news. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.